Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes Talk Radio Show with hosts Gay Hilton and George Uhas. This riveting show will help you find balance and energy while guiding you on your vibrational journey. Now here are your hosts, Drs. Gay Hilton and George Uhas.
And we welcome you today, our global audience, to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes, the show that peers into the quantum world of vibration. Each week we offer you guest speakers who are experts and researchers in the fields of complementary and alternative medicine, diet, exercise, nutrition, quantum physics research, and mind-body therapies. Realize the food we eat, the water we drink, the thoughts we think, and the environment that surrounds us all contains a vibrational frequency. Aligning ourselves with the highest vibration generates good vibes, and just what our show is all about. So may the force be with you today and every day. If you would like to be a guest on our show or perhaps even a sponsor and advertise, do contact either Dr. George or myself through our websites and we'll be glad to accommodate you. I would like to introduce to you my co-host, Dr. George Uhas, a traditional naturopathic doctor and clinical hypnotherapist. Hi, George.
Hi, Gay.
And today our special guest is a friend and colleague of mine, Ellie Hailwood, who has an MA from Rutgers in early childhood education, has her own daycare center in Erie, PA, and is an energy medicine practitioner. Hi, Ellie.
Good afternoon.
And Ellie's going to kind of give us today a very in-depth bit of information, a little bit about what she does as an energy medicine practitioner. We're going to be talking a lot of about the aspects of not only what the practitioner does, but the responsibility of the healer, too, to help the client get to a point where they can empower themselves enough to heal. And Ellie, I'm going to kind of start out by asking you, what are some of the aspects that you use to generate that empowerment to the client that may be coming to you with an issue to get them empowered enough to begin the healing process?
Well, what I use mostly is Reiki, Master Energy Medicine, and Qigong. And I have recently started using some quantum training in with it. In anything with energy, there's the matter of ethics. It's intention of the healer. If your client has the same intention, you want to heal, they want to be healed, you can get miracles. But with intention goes accountability and responsibility.
If you are working with someone, Ellie, that is deeply emotionally upset over, say, something that happened in childhood, that's buried. And I might mention next week we're going to be talking about self-sabotage, and this oftentimes details the issues that have been buried, and we all have them. There isn't one of us that doesn't have something buried. But how do you deal with, for example, someone that might come in that has an issue that's buried that they don't even know they have?
Well, most of us, going back to childhood and any quantum training thing, you don't realize until you go layer by layer. And thoughts are energies, and emotions are created by the thoughts we have. And then we act and react, and it makes us the person we are today. And people that have been damaged in childhood, they've been isolated, they've lost a loved one, their parents have been divorced, things like that that have happened, their beliefs are interpreted or misinterpreted on what happens. And those beliefs that they have in their mind are the meaning of the way that they act and how they feel. A child that has lost a parent at an early age, okay, is, you know, they feel abandonment. They, just like any child of a divorce at an early age, they don't understand, and they always have the guilt from blaming themselves. And children, okay, actually have three belief systems. There are three belief conditioning things: what they see, what is modeled to them, and what they interpret from this modeling. That makes them who they are, their sense of worthiness, and their potential for happiness. So when you're working with energy, you're going back layer by layer. You're also the factors in healing. Your client has a problem. And, okay, you have to know primarily what is it, emotional, physical, mental, spiritual, and what is the origin and the contributing factors?
Ellie, do you look to traumatic events as being pivotal in terms of a particularly in terms of a child's development? I know you're talking about beliefs, and to me, beliefs are stories that we attach to particular events. Can you comment on that?
Oh, of course. Well, a child, any event is pivotal. It's a tipping point in a child, especially when you get them before they go into adolescence. They have this in their head, the situation they are looking at. How do they interpret it? Or do they misinterpret it? Do they blame themselves? And if they blame themselves, how are they dealing with the guilt, the heartache, and the heartbreak? A child, as it goes into adulthood, becomes much more judgmental of themselves and of other people. They create these opinions, and the opinions sometimes they're not able to, in most cases, identify.
What's so wonderful about having you as a guest today, too, Ellie, is the fact that this is your career, not only as a healer, but you're also a daycare owner.
This
and you're
true.
Working with children on a daily basis that come from all different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have not only the background as a healer, but you are kind of nurturing these little kids, 'cause your children are what ages that come to your school?
Oh, they're from 6 weeks up until, you know, the children that have been here, a lot of them are in grade school, come back for summer.
Oh, wow. So you're working with primarily young kids.
Oh, yes, and yeah, the little minds are just like sponges at this point in time.
So that was a very good response. In other words, I remember when I was in college learning that up until age 5, much of what happened to you up until age 5 are considered the formative years, and now I think they've made it, what, 7?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So these are kind of the issues that we have to, if we're going to look and see what some of our individual issues are, we really have to look back at our childhood and see what in some cases may have created traumas that have never been released and consequently face them. What are some of the techniques you would use, say, with someone that would come in that had a trauma or something that happened to them in childhood that has been buried and you're trying to help them release it? What are some of the techniques that you would have the client do?
Well, one of them is you deal with, first of all, you have to identify what is wrong. And most people actually do not know what is wrong. I mean, they know there is a problem in their life. The basic thing is it doesn't, if you say there is a problem, they're first of all going to deny it. It doesn't make sense to them. Then, you know, and this is very logical. And the most part is through, if you use Reiki, or you use Master Energy Medicine. Now, Master Energy Medicine is non-invasive, and it aids in releasing the physical, the mental, the emotional. And it goes back years, and that's something they just lay there quietly. You're opening chakras. You're taking things from the past, the grief, fear, heartache, heartbreak, judgments, things that, you know, a lot of times as you are doing this, even in doing Reiki and talking to them or going through insights, going back through their lives as you would in quantum training, this all comes to the forefront. A lot of times when doing Reiki, I have had people that just automatically burst into tears because of flashbacks, not because of anything I've done, hopefully, but all of a sudden, you know, they get these flashbacks. And they have this guilt that has lingered and has been buried. For example, a young man, take a young man. We won't take Giorgio. You know, he's getting married.
I beg your pardon.
What are his impressions of what a husband is? It's what he is modeling after his father, their home life, as well as what he has seen on TV. So he is bringing to a marriage that. And if he has come from a broken home or a home where one parent has left, where they're divorced, one parent has passed away, his ability to relate on a marital basis isn't going to be the same as another person's.
Ellie, is it the, with energy medicine, is it the therapeutic relationship of the practitioner with the client, or is there some kind of activating technique or agent that you employ? I think for our listeners, if you could kind of could you clarify how this works in relation to what you just said in terms of effect?
Okay, someone's healing is dependent on many factors. To have optimum health, it's important to have good body work, for lack of a better word, like proper exercise, good diet, the right thoughts, and patience. And you know, the right thoughts that are in your head can make or break a health system.
Oh, is that ever for sure?
Yes, indeed.
And when using Reiki, you can, if you're a Reiki practitioner for any amount of time, you realize your secondary chakras, you're nothing more than a catalyst, but the universal energy that flows through you comes out the secondary chakras in your hands. And in your hands, you pick up tingling, cold, pain, heat, twitching, a pushing away feeling, or no energy at all. Now, each of these to the Reiki practitioner represents a different sign, a different symbol where the problem is. Like there's a pushing away feeling from the other person. It's usually a terminal patient that's lost the weight, will to live. Tingling, like pins and needles, that sensation around your finger, it means inflammation or arthritis in the bones and joints. You'll find that's where it happens. Now, if you have run into a very cold spot, it represents arthritis of a 20-year duration. And before you do this, you sit down, you talk to the person, you see what they have, you ask them about their blood pressure. In Qigong, blood pressure is the most important thing you work with, and you find exactly, you know, what is going on there. But through realizing and understanding your energy, you can accomplish miracles.
This has been a wonderfully informative especially from someone with your background, and you work with this, I know, on quite a regular basis. And we're going to be back after our break with Ellie Hailwood, who is an energy medicine practitioner, and she's going to be giving us some more details about what she does and her practice. Thank you for listening.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Blending the practical and the mystical, the Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to the Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. Today our guest is Ellie Hillwood, who is an energy medicine practitioner, and she was discussing something that I think was quite interesting concerning chakras, which are known in the East Indian tradition as energy centers. Much like the acupuncture system is to the Chinese, the chakras are to the East Indians. And a lot of us think in terms of the chakras, Ellie, as just being in the center of the body, starting at the root and going up to through the top of the head. But we also know there are in other areas, and I'm going to let you pick up where you left off.
Well, yeah, yes, you have from your root chakra going up right to your crown chakra. There are seven of those. And those are the main chakras, especially the heart and the solar plexus that you are dealing with as far as emotional feelings. And in Reiki or any energy healing, when a person is diseased, now dis-ease with their body, whether it's medical, physical, emotional, whatever, when a disease is present, your body is not in order. Reiki treatment brings the person back into universal unity, and that harmony reaches the very smallest cell of your body, and it enables the person to become whole and healthy, and thereby encourages the natural ability within the person to heal themselves. And that's what we want, our own natural ability back. And when you're dealing with any type of healing, whether you're doing Qigong, whether you're doing Reiki, whatever, you're using your chakras and you're using them as feelers to sense the other person. You're going into another person's energy field. When I feel something that is really, really bad, sometimes it's like cement. You cannot move or budge, and you have to work and send energy to that area. It's also sometimes you're feeling like going through water, smooth as silk. Other times it's like a sandbar. You can move it, it's palpable, but it's difficult, and you keep working and working. And these disease things are negativity, and you have to keep working till you release that. And it's not done a lot of times in one session. Sometimes you have many sessions that you work with somebody in order to bring this back into focus. Your chakras are actually swirling energy cycles, and they run around in a circle, and you open them, you take what is negative out, and the negativity has such a strong, strong impact on the individual. For anyone that hasn't seen or read Dr. Emoto's book, The Message, Hidden Messages in Water, shows you just what negativity does to water crystals. When they are frozen, they become hideous and heinous if they're negative. If they're love, they're absolutely beautiful. Love, faith, happiness, joy, they're wonderful. And that will show you, and you've got to think about the negative thoughts that are in your head that go through your body. If negativity can do this to water, what is it doing to your body, which is anywhere from 80 to 90% water? We are actually our own worst enemy at times.
Well, and I recall, Ellie, you and another gal and I went up to Jamestown, New York last spring, about a year ago, when Dr. Emoto was going to be there, and then he got held up. We didn't get to see him, but we did get to listen to their facilitators that they had. He was held up, remember, at the Canadian Peace Bridge.
Yes, he could.
But boy, we really heard a presentation that was really phenomenal, and if I recall, it was the last 16 seconds before the water is unfrozen that they get these crystals.
That's right, yeah.
That they take these pictures,
yeah.
And he's done tremendous research. He was even invited to
I think it was the University of California and also the United Nations to present information. And as you said, since we are predominantly fluids, water, blood, lymph, you know, the thoughts that we carry in our mind are electrical. We know that.
Well, you know, this relates to the quality of our life as being directly connected to the quality of our water.
Exactly.
Very much so.
Yeah. It's interesting. Water, it's a very malleable substance, and its physical shape easily adapts to whatever environment is present. I guess it begs the question in terms of physical shape is not the only thing that can change. Molecular shape can change as well. And what's the implication there in terms of the quality of our thoughts that we bring to the table?
Right. And, you know, the quantum physicists are now saying that they know that we are molecules and that those molecules then break down into atoms, and those atoms break down into subatomic particles, and those subatomic particles become light. So, you know, here's what we're made of. You know, if you're listening to what the quantum physicists are saying that they know this is what we're made of, then how important are our thoughts? They're so important. So now getting back to imbalances in our thoughts and our childhood and whatnot, and how you deal with this. You get them to recognize based on questions layering down through the layers of why do you think that, and then they would obviously tell you, well, you know, I have this problem or that problem, and then you ask them, in other words, you're continually asking them questions till
yes.
you get down to what the real crux of their emotional issues are, and then where do you go from there once you've established something in the early childhood? Then how do you get them to recognize how that is affecting their adulthood?
Well, wisdom is the result of learning. The difference between knowledge and wisdom is owning. The person has to own his experience and realize that anything they are feeling, and this usually goes back to guilt, it's either guilt about something they've done or an interpreted guilt or misinterpreted guilt. Then they actually, you get down to the point that you talk about it, you relive it, and you say, you know, exactly how you interpret that. This is the experience. This is how you have filtered it down through the years or believed it. This is what caused you to think and feel in that way. Now, at that point, you can choose an action. Is this what you want? Is this the result you want? If not, you have to bless it and let it go. But once somebody realizes the things that have happened to them as a child, and they come face to face with that fact that this is a responsibility, it is their responsibility to heal themselves. You can go to that point with them. If they want to heal themselves at that point, they have to let it go. They have to realize, okay, it's over. This is a fact. It's over. Nothing can change it. We have to move on. We have to grow. Whatever misfortune betook you is a point of growth. You have to accept the growth, bless it, and move on. There's good in everything if we choose to see it that way. You know, the lemon making lemonade.
That's right. That's
Ellie,
a very good point.
Are you saying that then that wisdom actually results from the realization of the client?
Oh, definitely.
What's occurred. Yeah.
Yes. Because in wisdom, I mean, you realize this, whatever happened before in your life that caused pain that now makes you the man you are. And maybe you have fits of anger or whatever. You're back. Oh, it hurts because of all this baggage you're carrying on. People with perpetual backaches. This is one big problem
that
they don't realize they need to let go.
I know that Gay, I'm sure you do this on your intake questionnaire, your health history or lifestyle history that you take with clients. I know I do. You ask the question, where do you hold stress in
mm-hmm.
the body?
Yeah.
And that can be a real clue in terms of where to focus on exactly what you're talking about, Ellie.
Oh, definitely, because most people, and especially in today's hectic world, stress is unbearable. A lot of it is magnified.
One thing I was going to make a mention of is one of the things that I think we would should discuss, because this seems to be, along with guilt, Ellie, and you and I have talked about this before too, abandonment issues that oftentimes are kind of convoluted as in childhood. In other words, a divorce, a parent's death, and they feel abandoned, and they don't realize it, and they carry those abandonment issues into adulthood, not knowing why they're not empowered, not knowing why they choose to not stand up for what they think. It's all kinds of issues dealing with self-empowerment that a lot of times are back of these abandonment issues. And could you go into that a little bit? Because that seems to be, that's one I hear a lot when I discuss this with consults. When I ask them, you know, what, well, this happened or that happened, and they felt abandoned. And they don't necessarily mean abandoned by mother or dad walked out, but they just felt like they didn't have that that insulation that they needed as a child.
Definitely. People that have these abandonment issues, a lot come from death, a lot come from divorce, because any child looks at that as guilt. If I had done the shoulda, woulda, coulda group, I should have done something. If I was a better kid, this never would have happened. God took my parent home, because a child will create opinions with or without support, and that weakens them. They do not build self-esteem. It detracts from their self-worth. They really have very little belief in themselves, and they build a false world, and where maybe they focus entirely upon their job. And you'll see that in so many people. Just look around at the people that don't have a lot of friends. They don't know how to interact with other people, and they are afraid to interact, really. There's no close pals running around. If they interact and they become close to this person, you know, there's something wrong with me, because now this person's going to leave me in time.
Overcompensation would be another tip-off in that respect. Yeah.
So there's the abandonment.
Yeah.
Insecurity with themselves because of what happened in a childhood experience. I can remember in first grade, for the first half of first grade, I grew up in Cambridge Springs, all through grade school, but for the first half, I lived in Cambridge Springs, and then the second half of my first grade, we moved to Washington, D.C., and we lived in Chevy Chase, Maryland for about 6 months while my father filled in for a position in Washington at the Capitol. And I remember the first day of school being taken down to the cafeteria by a fifth grader, and I was a little fifth, I just turned 6 years of age in first grade, and I remember he said to me, "Now, do you know how to get back to your room?" And I said, "Yes," and I knew darn well I didn't know how to get back to the classroom. I'd never eaten in a cafeteria in my life. I used to walk home to eat lunch, and here I am in this new school and this new cafeteria. And I can remember just crying, and this little this young teacher came over and said, "Little girl, can I take you to your room? I can see you don't know where you're going." And she took me up to my first grade class. And, you know, for a long period of time, I was kind of almost a little bit fearful of cafeterias. Now, can you imagine that? But that was from that experience of being abandoned in a situation. And it was quite traumatic, I think, for quite a while.
Fear is attaching to events.
Oh, yeah. It can be something very minuscule that can set you off.
Oh, certainly. You have no control.
That's right. We'll be back in a few with our guest today, an energy medicine practitioner, Ellie Hailwood.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Uhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Blending the practical and the mystical, the Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to the Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. 7th Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Uhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with our guest today, Ellie Hailwood, who is an energy medicine practitioner. And we left off talking about how these sometimes very unimportant traumas early in life can kind of set things into motion that later drive us as adults. And Ellie, if we have these little things that can cause problems, what about the big things? I mean, you know, divorces, and of course, divorce is pretty common anymore. So I think they say now over 50% of first marriages end in divorce, and I think it's even higher on the second marriage. So divorce is not really the trauma that it would have been years and years ago. But regardless, these things get buried. We have to bring them up. And as you've so aptly brought out, and I'd like you to go into this, they have to own this stuff. They have to realize what it is and decide they're no longer going to continue living the same fears and the same emotions. They've got to release them, let them go, and go on with their life.
Well, that is true, because you have a person, whoever your client is, has a belief. Whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It's his belief in his own head, and he believes he's right because it's his interpretation or his misinterpretation of what happened many years ago. And nothing has meaning but the meaning he gives it. If he thinks it's primary, when it's uncovered, that's the main thing. He thinks it's primary. And if he created that in his mind or misinterpreted, say, he's a young person, he felt he was responsible because of his actions that his parents got a divorce. Say that's what the child thought. Now he's an adult. This is something he's created.
Right.
And this is also something he can uncreate. He can actually come to the point that he says, I am responsible alone for how I feel about myself. And that first step is being aware of the problem. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Ellie. Sorry.
The second step is understanding the truth of what needs to be changed, to understand he wasn't responsible. His parents were not the same people they were when they married and they went their separate ways. He was not responsible. deep down in his head until he comes to face that, that's what needs to be changed. And when he can understand about the why he feels this way, and he can understand that he is not at fault, then he can disassociate it. It's thoughts, emotions, and remembering.
George, you were going to make a comment.
Ellie just answered what I was going to ask. So
I think something you said also, that earlier on in the show, you mentioned that we grow from these sometimes turbulent experiences of childhood. And I think that is so true, but you have to be able to look at those experiences with a real, as you said, with a real view that that's what it was. It was a bump in the road. It was a growth process, but as a result of that experience, you become a better person, hopefully.
Oh, you become more outgoing, more understanding. You become more empathetic. Yeah, there goes that good word. The empathy towards another person becomes much more into your awareness.
Everybody has a different frame of reference, and even quantum physicists are making the point now that there's really no one reality.
That's right.
Each of us lives in a separate universe, and that's not even speaking metaphorically.
Right.
There's a hypothesis that talks about the stark nature of reality, and it's suggested by recent developments in quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Reality in a dynamic universe is non-objective.
Yeah, in fact, don't they call it the universe of chaos? That
yes.
In reality, everybody's world is their own. I mean, when they say you live in a little world of your own, hey,
yes.
Maybe that's just exactly what it really is.
Consciousness is the only reality.
That's right. Your particular consciousness is unique to you, and your framework of it is unique to you. But this show is all about getting out of the fears that may have been created, and today we're going to talk about the fears that may have been created as a child that are impacting your life today. And if you're not aware of those fears, or you're not looking at them and seeing the domino effect they've had in your life, then that's why we have Ellie on here today. Right, Ellie?
Thank you. Well, you know, fear is usually the anticipation of pain. Pain if they repeat this. Pain if someone goes into a relationship, they fear abandonment. Pain that your self-worth isn't good enough to strive for a higher job, whatever it is. And the mind's job tries to protect us from the pain, so therefore you have a little bit of a hindrance.
That's the subconscious mind at its
yes.
best.
That's right. That's right. Getting out of your own way. So how do you tell people to face their... What do you do, basically, to tell them to face their fears? And sometimes there's fears that the rest of us would laugh at, but to someone who's deeply shy or who is not someone that can handle stress or whatever the case may be, that to them is a huge, huge... leap, and it's a leap of faith, literally. So how do you go about getting them to move towards that? Obviously, you would say what anybody else would say. If you don't, you're going to be stuck in the same place you are now, and you won't have evolved, and you won't be happy because fear's blocking your happiness, fear of this, fear of that. So to get them to actually realize that and get them to move to the next stage, oftentimes, I'm sure, is your biggest hurdle, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And a lot of that is just showing them the plus and minuses of staying where you're at, which is the status. The mind's job usually is we like to stay in our own little space. We don't want to get out of this. We feel very safe and secure. So usually our mind's job is the status quo, or, you know, the what if I did that, this could go wrong, that could go wrong.
The fear.
Yes, the fear of that. But action, by looking at it, your mind's job is going to protect you from the pain. It's going to try to keep you safe. You're going to stay in this same little envelope that you are right around here, running around the same little circles, rather than take the action to provide the means that's going to achieve you happiness. failure to act, failure to move on, is something you sit and you talk about. It's not the inability, failure to act is not the inability to act. It's the root cause of most failures and unhappiness. And when we do act and do not receive the results that they're hoping for, then the opportunity to learn has been modified to a degree. Fear keeps people from acting, and it's this irrational feeling that you have to support someone all the way through.
And, of course, I always tell people, are you happy? Are you happy in life? Are you happy in your relationship? Are you happy in your work? And when they say one or the other is not happy, then I'll say to them, well, why? And, George, I'm going to let you kind of pick up on this because this is really your baby as a clinical hypnotherapist.
Well, that's a very good question, Gay. And one of the clues that I look for, if a person is angry, as an example, I look at that as being an indication that they're looking to change. It's actually an attempt to change. And you were talking about being happy. I look at sadness basically as really being an awareness that pain is there.
That something's not right.
But something, well, yes. And getting the client in touch with or being aware of where that sadness is coming from,
right,
where that anger is coming from, you know, that's always a goal. It's just omnipresent.
And, Ellie, what would you add to that?
Well, I think most people at some point in their life are very dissatisfied with themselves. They have to learn how to develop self-trust, how to live without regrets. Everyone has to realize what a special gift they are to this world. What abilities, you know, they have unique abilities that make their hearts sing. And it's looking the positive or the negative. And most people, with the world around them, the stress, they don't take time to think, oh my gosh, I am so blessed. And if you start out on that step, and really decide that you're in your world tomorrow, the sun will shine, that you will find your own voice, you're going to enhance it, you're going to act on it, you're going to be empowered and fulfilled. Then you get to the root causes of negativity in your life, and it's like a little garden. You weed them out, and people, I think this instant gratification world we live in, want success today, and when it doesn't happen overnight, perhaps they just are having problems working on things.
What about the power of intention? And this is a great time to bring this in, because this is so key to coming into the reality of your own empowerment and how to just take that leap of faith in order to manifest what it is you want. And we're going to come back here in a few and discuss the power of intention, which, by the way, is a biggie in the DVD and the book The Secret, which is a number one bestseller.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
blending the practical and the mystical. The Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to the Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network, and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Your online community for positive change. 7th Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with our guest Ellie Hailwood. And Ellie, you are an amazing gal, and I want to tell you, I've heard some wonderful stories about your work in the energy field, and let's talk a little bit about the inner warrior, which you mentioned, and I think that is so prophetic, the inner warrior. What is the inner warrior?
Well, that's when you've gotten yourself to the point that you have to develop inner strength, where you begin to question, why is it difficult for you to make the changes in your life? You desire something. Why is it difficult to change to do this? Have you ever questioned why your habits are so strong and they're hard to break? Like somebody that's an alcoholic or smokes? Is there another dimension to problems in your world that you haven't looked at? You know, we all see through our own distortion. Do you continue to try things over, the repeating the same patterns over and over and over? You have no success, but you keep running in square circles. Have you discovered, what you have to do is probably play the inner game, discover your own strength, and learn how to thrive on change. Changing from an old habit to a new one is an adventure. Make it an adventure so you learn how to enjoy. That's a tool that you can help. You use it to enable yourself. Experience where your true confidence comes from, because down deep you know you can change. You know you can face old habits. You know you can break them. You know if you were abandoned, whatever your base core problem is, you know you can face it, grow from it, and become a better person. Down deep you know that. Now once you've realized that your responsibility is to change, to make yourself a better person, and if you do that, you're going to be so much happier. And then you have to look at everything with clarity. And that, especially in a crisis of changing from one mode to another, breaking a habit, you're breaking the walls of resistance. They stop you from getting ahead. And then once you've done that, go with confidence and be the person you really can be.
Ellie, I can't help but remark that the change is really the personal frontier. It's an unseen world.
It kind of
reminds me about an old Woody Allen comment. Let's see if I can remember it. There is no question that there is an unseen world. The problem is how far it is from Midtown and how late is it open.
How true.
That's great. Well, I think also, Ellie, you know, what we need and what we want are two different things. And oftentimes what we think we want is not what we really need. Or what we need isn't what we want. So we have to be clear, we have to be really clear about what it is. And with that, I'm going to ask you a little bit about what you do with respect to the power of intention. Say you want to achieve a goal for yourself. Say you've recognized some things in your past, some fears, some insecurities, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's even difficulty handling your finances. and you say, okay, now I can see what I'm doing here that I need to correct, and you start to empower yourself. And now let's talk a little bit about the step of the power of intention. To manifest what it is we really want, we have to use the power of intention. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, sure, you have to at some point practice, okay, and you have to maintain the principles of whatever you are doing. You have to regulate your thoughts above all, and your thoughts stay positive because, you know, as we talked about in the beginning of the program, your thoughts actually are energy, okay, and the way we think determines how we feel. How you feel leads us to an action that creates a result. So at some point you have to say this, I feel that I would, and look at it with clarity, is this what I need? I need to sit down, we're talking, say we're going to budget everything. I need to do this and do that. Oh, but there's a real nice dress on sale, I'd like to have that. Okay, that is a process of interpretation. This is what I feel. Okay, the feeling, the thinking. The thinking is, I need the money for the electric bill, not the dress. Now I've come to a point in the road where I have to choose, and that will cause a result which can be interpreted as, I'm looking mighty fine or I have no electricity. And sometimes a lot of people in doing this need a coach or somebody that they can talk to. The value of having somebody they can talk to is immeasurable at times. Somebody that's gone through this and can actually guide you so that you become, or I would become, accountable and I can move forward. You know, I, just like that example, I'm accountable for the money. And it comes to a choice, I have to be accountable and responsible.
And of course, the power of intention is so important for whatever it is, whether it's a sporting event that you're part of, whether it's your job and you want to increase your finances, whatever it is, if you want a new love in your life or you have your mindset on something, the power of intention is keeping focused on that point, whatever it is you want to manifest and bring into your life, and not letting your eye leave that focus point, both emotionally and intuitively, because as we keep our focus, we don't allow things to dissipate. The energy will get stronger, the stronger the focus. When you start to let the focus go away, the energy dissipates. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, Gandhi once said, wisdom is the actualization of knowledge. And knowledge and focusing, just like a laser beam on something you want, will bring eventually it into your world, because you're not going to be distracted by the flim-flam of the outer world. And if you want to become a better person, you want to become healthier, then you're going to focus on, you've got a sick little body, you're going to focus on healing, then you focus on eating the vegetables, you focus on the fruit, you have 8 glasses of water, you go see Gay Hilton and get yourself all stocked up on good, get your meridians lined up. But you focus on what you really desire, and you get your mind set. First of all, you know, take the baggage, get rid of the baggage you're carrying around in your subconscious, conscious mind. And then you can really focus and decide with clarity, what do you want? What do I want to be today that is better than I was yesterday? That's positive, that's progress. Keep moving forward.
This involves a clear, committed decision, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But number one, who in the world do you have the greatest love relationship with? You should have your greatest love relationship with yourself.
That's right.
And that is the only thing in reality you can give to another person. And if you don't have it within you, then what are you really giving your children, your husband, your wife? If you don't love you, how do you know how to love someone else?
Also begs the question, where do you find all the inner resources that you need to use in that respect? You find it within yourself.
Definitely.
And that's why we kind of have to piecemeal and go degree by degree, like you say, layer by layer,
mm-hmm.
to really reach what it is, what we are all about. I always say, go to the time of your life when you were the happiest. Who were the people around you? What were the thoughts you had? And how do you recreate those thoughts and recreate those experiences?
Well, if you do that, then you discover your own way towards wholeness and a sense of fulfillment and empowerment. You do away with your old hurts, your old wounds. And most people actually are rather afraid to love themselves. You discover why that is. And you start communicating with honesty and dignity.
I know you were doing a little bit of energy work on your organs and glands. Tell me a little bit about what you did.
When I was taking Tai Chi from Master Ping, who is such a remarkable man, that's Chinese or medicine, energy medicine,
right.
And he taught us that we have to love our organs, our glands. You talk to them, and one of the biggest things he taught us was actually what we have is called spit. And you take your tongue and you run around your mouth above your around the front of your teeth and behind them till you build up a lot of saliva. Swallow that. That's a natural antibiotic, to your own natural antibiotic to all your organs. I haven't had a cold in 18 months because of that.
I know,
that's
and I know having
a real inner resource.
I know, having tested you, Ellie, you have really, your chi flow is just incredible. What a fabulous guest you've been today and informing us all about what you do as a Reiki practitioner and energy healer. We thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thanks, Ellie. A real pleasure.
It was my honor. Thank you both so very much.
Next week, we are going to have a return of Russ DiCarlo, and our subject will be self-sabotage. This is going to be an interesting one, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Good Vibes, Bad Vibes.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's show, Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, and discover how you can be empowered in our vibrational world.